Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Teeravanachari. Jamuna Teeravanachari. Jamuna Teeravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Om Vishpad Paramahamsa Prabhujakacharya Sotara Sata Shishimade Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki. Its confounder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Samaveda Gora Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 14, The System of Universal Management. Text 5. Tito dharmam chatushpadam manavo harino dita yukta sanchara yantya dha sve sve kale mahim nipa tito dharmam chatushpadam manavo harino dita yukta sanchara yantya dha sve sve kale mahin nimpa tito dharmam chatushpadam manavo harino dita yukta svachara yantya dha sway sway kale mihim nipa. Dharmam tatis padam.
Nanpanoditaha Yukta Sanchayantyadha Sway Sway Kali Mihimnipa Tato Dharmam Chatushpadam Manavo Harinoditaha Yukta Sancharyantyada Sway Sway Kali Mihimnipa Tato Dharmam Chatushpadam Manavo Harinoditaha Yukta Sanchara Yantyadha Sway Sway Kali Mihimnipa Tato Dharmam Chatushpadam Manavo Harinoditaha Yukta Sanchara Yantyadha Sway Sway Kali Mihimnipa Tataha. Thereafter, at the end of Kali Yuga, Dharmam, the religious principle, Chatupadam, in four parts, Manavaha, all the Manus, Harina, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Udita, being instructed, Yukta, being engaged. Sancharyanti, reestablish. Ada, directly. Sway, sway, in their own. Kale, time. Mihim, within this world. Nipa, O King. Translation. Thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly reestablish the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. Please repeat. Thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly reestablish the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dharma, or occupational duty, can be established in its full four parts as explained in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita 4.1, the Lord says, Imam Vishvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan, and Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ishvaku. End quote. This is the process of disciplic succession. Following the same process, the Krishna conscious movement is teaching the principles of Bhagavad Gita as it is, without deviation, all over the world. If the fortunate people of this time accept the instructions of Lord Krishna, they will certainly be happy in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone, at least in India, to become a preacher of this mission. In other words, one should become a guru and preach the Lord's instructions all over the world for the peace and prosperity of humanity. Srila Prabhupada ki. Before I proceed, my name is Rajendra Nandana Das, an insignificant disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and I hope that you would chant these prayers with me, asking for the benedictions of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, and our previous acharyas, so that there might be some mercy flowing in today's class. Om Gyanatimanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shirta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarane Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we're getting to hear about the Manus reestablishing Dharma in this world when it had been lost. And what is Dharma? We hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's nothing but the instructions, the transcendental knowledge given by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the authority upon which any of us speak, or upon which we base our lives upon, is that transcendental knowledge. That's the scriptures. That is our... How do you say? Pramana, supreme evidence. And then the disciplic succession, as it's describing in the purport, they are also part and parcel of that pramana because they show us how to properly understand transcendental knowledge and how to apply it in our lives. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that in Mathura when he took prasad from a lower class Brahmin, someone that most sannyasis would not accept the cooking of, the food from. But he said, you're a disciple of Madhavendra Puri? He took prasadam from your hands? Please allow me to do the same. And there he said, it is by the activities of the Vaishnavas that one can understand the purport of the revealed scriptures. So this disciplic succession and the previous acharyas, this is so very important. We have an unbroken line of disciplic succession right to the present day. Beginning with Krishna himself to Lord Brahma, we're in Lord Brahma's disciplic succession. No one else around, the Lord within the heart revealed to him transcendental knowledge, revealed the mysteries of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's name, form, qualities, pastimes. Revealed the mysteries of devotional service. And Lord Brahma imparted it to his son, Narada Muni, who imparted it to Vyasadeva. On down the line of disciplic succession to our own divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and his followers. So Srila Prabhupada said, our movement is going on very nicely because we're following this process of distributing the teachings of the Lord. As in Bhagavad Gita, as it is, without deviation. Not adding anything, not subtracting anything. It's okay to, it is imperative that one assimilate, realize this knowledge, and if we want to put it in our own vernacular, in our own language, or our own style of delivering the message, that's okay.
But the essence, the truth, the absolute truth cannot be tampered with. As soon as that happens, the potency is lost. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is asking that we become a guru, asking everyone. He says at least those born in India. And of course we know as Srila Prabhupada traversed the globe 14 times, he didn't just make this request of Indian-bodied living entities. He gave that mandate to anybody who would hear. And fortunate those who aspire or those who do take it up to the best of their ability. Srila Prabhupada in 1930, 1931, he used to take his japa walks in Victoria, Memorial Park. And he had a friend there. And he relayed years later to one devotee interviewing those who knew Srila Prabhupada before he was the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. And he would walk with Srila Prabhupada on his japa walks, and Srila Prabhupada would preach to him from Bhagavad Gita very strongly and developed a close friendship with this devotee. And this devotee said, Abhai Charna Prabhu at that time told me that he had met his spiritual master who had instructed him, because he spoke good English, he instructed him, you should go to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness in English. Srila Prabhupada said, I've taken a vow to fulfill that order. This is before he was even initiated. Officially initiated. What is initiation? This is very important to understand. If you want to become guru, you're being asked to become guru, you have to understand who is guru. What does guru do? Guru is the transcendental representative of the Lord. According to deliberate opinion of revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, first chapter, text 45. It says, what is that? One must approach a spiritual master. You have to. Why? Because do you see the Lord within your heart? Do you hear the Lord directly speaking to you? No. Therefore, he has to manifest outside in a form in which you can see, hear, and serve. And that's the spiritual master. Uddhava, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, said to Lord Krishna, Oh, my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma, for you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. 11:29:6. So Srila Prabhupada really took that transcendental instruction from his spiritual master to have accepted it and made it his life's goal. To have taken a vow to do that means that he accepted the transcendental knowledge that was inherent in that instruction. The spiritual master does not give one instructions that you cannot fulfill. With the instruction of the spiritual master comes the potency and the blessings to fulfill that instruction, if you want. Transcendental knowledge is what diksha actually is. It's being given by one who has it to someone who needs it. And by the giving of transcendental knowledge, all of one's sins and sinful reactions are eradicated. That's actual diksha. And to reinforce what takes place, how significant it is for us conditioned souls aspiring to become eternal servants of Krishna, we have the formality of the yajna and all the rituals that go along with it. We're meant to take very seriously the necessity of surrendering wholeheartedly to the spiritual master. We're meant to appreciate what
a priceless gift we've been given. First of all, we're in the human form. If you think about how many living entities are in the other 8 million species, it's inconceivable, it's innumerable, unlimited practically. And there's a few humans on the planet, 7 billion, whatever. And out of them, we've come across pure Vaishnavas. We're being given the opportunity to surrender to a representative of the Lord within the heart and be guided by Him, to be given the shelter and guided by Him to learn how to develop our love for Krishna. Please do not think that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for anything less than you and I developing Krishna Prem. Love for Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, the darling of Srimati Radharani. That's what Vaidhi Bhakti is meant to enable one to realize. Krishna Prem. We have it. It is within us. It's covered. We've given power of attorney for eons to Maya Devi, her representative, the false ego, sitting there giving us advice, bad advice, continually since time immemorial. So we've forgotten it. We've forgotten the combination to the safe of our heart wherein lies Krishna Prema. When one is given the shelter and the guidance of a pure Vaishnava, a representative of the Lord, He helps us reawaken and claim that rightful treasure that is ours. The opportunity to eternally serve Lord Krishna and His associates. Lord Chaitanya came to give Krishna Prem, and He did so through the medium of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It does not get any easier than that. In those names of Krishna is Krishna Prem. All of you have heard the transcendental sound vibration, the transcendental names which descended from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, brought by Lord Chaitanya. All of you have heard those from the lips of pure Vaishnavas. Certainly from Srila Prabhupada, if not many others. We're all blessed, but we have to wake up to the reality of our blessing. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that chanting Hare Krishna is synonymous with Krishna Prem. Why do the acharyas say like that? Because by chanting Hare Krishna, one reawakens one's eternal love for Krishna. And when one has Krishna Prem, what does that inspire one to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Those who have love for Krishna can't help but glorify Krishna, can't eagerly desire to hear about the glories of Krishna. It is their life's goal to share that nectar with as many others as possible. It's like we may be practicing, we are practicing devotees. But if someone told us, you just won the lottery, I bought a ticket in your name, and you just won $500 million, it would be hard to contain our excitement. I mean, you'd want to tell all your friends and families, I just won $500 million. That's nothing compared to the opportunity to reawaken eternal loving service for Krishna. It's chump change to have service at the lotus feet of Krishna, who is such a personality that by rendering loving service to Him, He eternally, by the arrangement of His potencies, ever expands in wonderment and happiness in different ways that the devotee continually wants to try harder to serve, to please, to give one's life for simply pleasing Krishna. Self-complacency and Krishna consciousness is a disease. It is epitomized in Brahman realization.
The Atmaramas, they're self-satisfied because they've taken the cheap imitation of the goal of life, moksha, as all in all. They get Brahman, and it's a static form of happiness. There is no change in Brahman. Despite what the fools might say, there's no ever-increasing bliss in Brahman. You're just eternally safe and protected from the miseries of the material world. You've understood eternality. But in Krishna consciousness, in pure bhakti, it's ever-expanding, ever-increasing. And those who are pure devotees, they're never satisfied. I'm going to use one Prabhu as an example, because he's not sitting in the room, and so I can. Jivanath Prabhu, no matter how many books we distribute after the japa period with our guests, he goes, "Oh, I wish it had been 50 today instead of 44. Every day, and I'm always thinking, come on. Enjoy the moment. We distributed 44 packets of books this morning. Srila Prabhupada's Trans the Book Distribution K. But he's exemplifying that the pure devotees are never satisfied. They're always trying harder and harder to please Krishna. Now, we don't have, personally speaking, my love awakened yet for Krishna. But I want to admonish, if I can use that term, or at least I will share with you, Prabhus. I'm here now, and I will say, sometimes when we hear Prabhu speak and emphasize it's practically impossible to attain Krishna Prema, I want to remind you of something. There are two ways in which you can raise a child. Two kinds of parenting skills. One, you can reinforce negativity. You're never going to get Krishna Prema. You're an idiot. What do you know? You're so... He's not talking to me. No, I wasn't. Hare Krishna. That young man is giving Krishna's mercy away all the time. But negative reinforcement. Of course it's difficult. On our own, it is impossible. Srila Prabhupada wrote one letter saying, and we don't know what the questions were, but he said, personally speaking, in terms of my own qualification, I am way too sinful, have no good qualities, therefore I cannot directly approach Krishna. But by the causeless mercy of my Guru Maharaj, everything is possible. And he quoted the verse, what is it? Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the impossible becomes easily achieved. Easily achieved. And evidently some question had been raised about Narada Muni. And he said, and thus I'm begging for the mercy of Narada Muni that he will deliver me through the succession and allow me to engage in the pure unalloyed service of the Lord. Now today is Vrindavan Das Thakur's disappearance day. A pure Vaishnava, a direct disciple of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. When these days, appearance and disappearance arrive, we're meant to read whatever nectar is to be found about them, because they are alive and they are present in the transcendental sound vibration about their qualities, about their activities. We pray that Vrindavan Das Thakur deliver us through the disciplic succession. We will try to say something about Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was a param guru. His words in Chaitanya Bhagavat have the ability to give Krishna Prema to anybody who will accept it. He was such an empowered devotee of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So we've been asked to become gurus. So I wanted to describe a little bit about guru to understand. Actually, it is a tall request. It is a big order. Guru, the syllable gu means the darkness of ignorance. And ru means that which impedes the darkness. In other words, guru means one who eradicates the darkness of ignorance
of others. That's from the Skanda Purana. And we know that Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, "Yay, Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hoy." It doesn't matter if you're unqualified previously as a Shudra, Brahmin, Sannyasi. It doesn't matter. Varna and Ashram, these Manus, they come and they give the Varnashram Dharma and they establish Dharma. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. That's all there. That's the background that can help purify us to recognize what human life is really for. Reawakening our eternal love for Krishna. So to understand the essential characteristics of the spiritual master, it is this. You have to possess knowledge of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. This is the science of approaching Krishna. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mama Bhajanati Yavanyaschasmi Tatvata, to know me in truth. So there are two kinds of realizations, or two purports to the truth, understanding the truth of Krishna. I'm going to read from a purport of Srila Prabhupada, 1147. And in the first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, basically he describes Guru Tattva very nicely. Diksha Guru. In ISKCON for so many years, we just took it, Guru means Diksha Guru. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very clearly says, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, both are manifestations of Krishna from within the heart. And in terms of elaborating on the Siksha Guru, one who gives this transcendental knowledge to others, he says there are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person, fully absorbed in meditation in devotional service. And the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. I just paraphrased the next couple of sentences because I didn't want to take the time to write them out. But basically the next two sentences said, the science of devotional service is understood by objective and subjective ways. And then he explains what he means. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. One who has Krishna, who has love for Krishna, one who has reawakened his spiritual form, he can directly serve Krishna, serve the servants of Krishna, the transcendental Adhoksaja, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who do not have it reawakened yet, although interestingly enough, there is a quote from Antyalila, 4th chapter, 192 and 3, where Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya says, at the time of initiation, when a devotee surrenders to the spiritual master, Krishna makes him equal to himself. He transforms the devotee's body into spiritual substance. The devotee thus worships the Lord in that spiritualized body. So we can understand that in two ways. When you actually have transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan, your spiritual form reawakens. It remanifests by the mercy of the holy names, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And one can render loving service to Krishna and the Vrajvasis. Secondary understanding is when the formal initiation takes place, I embrace the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, I vow to chant 16 rounds minimum every day and follow the four regulative principles, and you do your best to assist the spiritual master in his service to his guru. The mission of Lord Chaitanya, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the family business is preaching, it's sharing, giving the holy names, giving the transcendental knowledge through literatures, in so many other ways. That's what we're meant to do. And one might think, well, Vaidhi Bhakti, wow, I'm way down here and we're talking Krishna praying. Well,
But the reality of it is, because we're receiving this process from a Vrajvasi, Srila Prabhupada, a dear associate of Lord Chaitanya, inherent in that process, in the instructions he gives us, is the Raga Bhakti, is the Prema Bhakti. That's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And really, we just have to wake up to the reality of it. Now, how do we do that? Do what we can do. Engage the body and the mind in Krishna's service. I should say, in the spiritual master's service. We know our guru. If our guru, our spiritual master, stole our heart, then ever increasingly we should be developing love for our spiritual master. And the more we love him, the more we want to serve and please him. And the more we do please the spiritual master, then the more the mercy of the guru and Krishna manifest in our lives. They bring us up. Everything in Krishna consciousness is a gift. We should never think ourselves the doers in Krishna consciousness. The guru doesn't think he's the guru. He thinks he's the servant of my guru. He looks at those who come to him. Often, Srila Prabhupada more than once said that my spiritual master has sent you to assist me in serving him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would often say, I see you as my spiritual master. You've come to show me how to surrender to and engage in the service of Krishna. Follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, but add the desire to someday, by the unlimited, causeless mercy of the spiritual master, to become qualified that spontaneity and love for the Lord can be reawakened. We just have to add that desire to what we're doing right now. If you're not cutting corners and you're doing your best to please Guru by following the instructions, then just add that desire, that earnest desire. On our own, we're not going to do it. You have to have the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas. We have to. But the causeless mercy, just the very word itself, causeless. On our own, we will not measure up. But the Guru representing Krishna, Gauranga representing the desire of service to the Lord, they want to give love to everyone. They want to give Krishna's service to everyone. They don't look at who's fit and who's not fit. I may not be fit. That's a fact. No problem. You just have to develop the desire. And when I say desire, I don't mean, I'd kind of like to buy some ice cream for breakfast. And let me go do that. That's a 15-20 rupee desire. We're talking about desiring more than anything else. More than we've ever desired for anything else. It's explained that one has to cry, begging, Guru, please give me eternal service to Krishna. To get Krishna, you have to cry for Krishna. All the acharyas cry for Krishna. Those who received Krishna cried for Krishna. They begged for Krishna. Bhiva Mangala Thakur cried. Dhruva Maharaj cried. Srila Prabhupada cried. There are pastimes told. In interviews, the pujari at Shantipur for Advaita Acharya's home, he would see Srila Prabhupada come during the 40s and 50s and chant japa before Advaita Acharya there, where Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Vaitacharya got together and discussed the plans for spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the entire world. He would cry. He never even spoke to the pujari. Wasn't until the last day before he was going to leave. Pujari didn't know that, but he was going to set off for America, where his crying was just torrential. Where he had to ask, please, I've noticed you've chanted all these years, coming once or twice a month. Do you mind me asking, who are you? Could you share that much with me? He said, I'm Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, a very unqualified and insignificant disciple of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravajakacharya Shottara Sata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And He's given me an impossible instruction. He's asked me to take Krishna consciousness to the Western world. I have no ability to do so. I have no qualification to do so. So I've come here begging for the mercy. And His begging was in the form of tears. When He resided in Radha Damodar Mandir, one young boy at the time used to hear some nights somebody crying so loudly, piteously crying. One night on the full moon night, he got up on the roof of his home where he could look into Radha Damodar's, not courtyard, but in the courtyard of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi in Bhajan Kutir. And he saw Bhaktivedanta Swami sweeping the courtyard of Rupa Goswami and crying his eyes out, chanting Hare Krishna, calling out to Rupa Goswami, please give me the mercy. Please let me fulfill my spiritual master's instruction. And for those of us who can't cry, then we're recommended, take up the determination to hold on to this desire to render selfless pure service to Guru and Krishna. Associate with those who have it, who keep it foremost in their mind. It's infectious. We will be reinforced in our own attempts to remember and act upon this desire. Association is so important. And if we keep our mind hearing the nectar consistently, constantly, daily, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and everything is in the chanting Hare Krishna. I hope I don't steal Banabhata Prabhu's thunder, but he told one pastime in the Russian class a few days back where he was temple commander here in Mayapur, and one devotee was such a slacker. He was simply chanting off by the Goshala in a banana grove there all day long, and he wouldn't do any service. And there was some really important service to be done, and Banubhata Prabhu finally took it to Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, we're trying to finish the long building for the devotees come for Mayapur festival. We're asking everyone to help, but we've got one devotee. All he does is chant Hare Krishna all day long out in the banana grove by the Goshala. Prabhupada was chanting japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And after he was, you know, please excuse me for disturbing you, Srila Prabhupada, and he said what I just said, Prabhupada continued to chant what seemed like forever. And then Srila Prabhupada slightly turned his head to Banabhata. He said, so, you think chanting Hare Krishna is not service? Chanting Hare Krishna is the greatest service. And that was a lousy imitation, but Srila Prabhupada would open his eyes so big when he wanted to make a point, and through his eyes would come such intensity of purity in sharing whatever Krishna Katha he was giving. And then Banubhata had been reduced to the size of an ant crawling on the floor. He paid his obeisances, said Jai Srila Prabhupada, and went out. Everything is in the Maha Mantra. Everything about ISKCON is meant to bring us to chanting Hare Krishna. But how we chant, that's important. If we are tasting the names, then we will want to share the names with others. We will not want to stop at 16 rounds, the minimum. We will want to share it with others. The more that is given, the more you want to share. The more that is given, the more that is expected from the recipient. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would preach to his mind in Vaishnava K, and he said, O mind, this humble servant of Radha and Krishna, Varshabhanavi Daitya Das, placing his hopes in kirtan, loudly sings the names of Lord Hari. Those who have spiritual life in abundance preach the Lord's message. Whatever is spoken about Krishna without the life of realization resembles nothing more than a cadaver. We don't want to be
a corpse. We don't want to be shooting blanks. We realize on our own we're so disqualified. But if we will repeat the message as we've heard it, and especially whatever standards we follow, those words will have potency. When Srila Prabhupada brought his disciples to India, he would sometimes ask Saraswati, a five-year-old girl, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And she would tell the guests sitting in the room, "Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Srila Prabhupada said, "That is perfect preaching. Krishna's not a demigod. Krishna's not some temporary manifestation of Brahman. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are his eternal servants." So whatever we've realized, let's share it with others and pray that we can become increasingly empowered to share with others. If we realize we're not the doers, neophytes think I'm the doer. It's in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. The Lord mercifully allows you to have that ignorance for some time so you'll gain momentum and you'll be excited. Wow, I distributed 4 bags of books today. I did nothing. I was the set of arms and legs that helped Vishak Prabhu preaching, encouraging, enlivening these Prabhus to take the books of Srila Prabhupada's. I just was an instrument. And as long as you maintain that humility is absolutely important in trying to become empowered in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of sharing Krishna consciousness. Another example of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita says it's synonymous with devotional service. It's synonymous with praying. Those who have praying, they think themselves the most unqualified. Srila Prabhupada more than once said, "I am constantly praying to Krishna. Please don't allow me or my disciples to fall into Maya." If you are constantly calling to your spiritual master, to the previous acharyas, to Krishna himself through his holy names, they are always there for us. The more we take shelter of that, the more we realize that. There is no difference between Krishna, the form of Krishna, and his name. And Rupa Goswami says, of the two, the name is the most merciful. So we should rely on the protection of the holy names. The holy names are our protector. They are our maintainer. Anything that's favorable for chanting Hare Krishna, we have to embrace that. Anything unfavorable, reject it. And in a humble mood, chant Hare Krishna so that we can practice. And someday, by the mercy, causeless, ceaseless flow of mercy of the spiritual master, we can surrender everything to the Lord. In the meantime, we just listen to the prayers of those who are surrendered to the Lord. If we repeat them every day, it sinks in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, "O Lord, please give me the strength so that I can always keep these misconceptions of I and mine far away from my mind. Today I take shelter at your lotus feet, which award fearlessness to all. I dedicate myself completely to you. May this mood of surrendering myself to you remain deeply rooted within my heart. Let it not be a temporary sentiment like the elephant's desire to bathe." We are connected in this movement and this society to one who lives, breathes that mood. Srila Prabhupada is that one, the founder of Acharya of ISKCON and the Siksha Guru, the father, best friend of everyone in this movement. To him we unconditionally surrender. Jayapataka Maharaj interestingly said to the Diksha Guru, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we conditionally surrender. But the purport of that is we should understand those who have love for Krishna, they will never cheat us. They can give us Krishna. And those who are following the instructions of such pure devotees, they are dear to the Lord. Krishna says, "The pure devotees are most dear to me, and even those who are devotees of my devotees, they are very dear to me." So those who are taking this instruction, become a guru. Share Krishna consciousness. If you aspire to take up that instruction, you will be empowered to
enliven others, as Srila Prabhupada said. Enliven them? Where was... the second thing. Enliven their spiritual consciousness with relevant instructions. Whatever we lack in sharing Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada maintains what we have and he'll provide what we lack if we are praying, begging for the ability to serve in that way. So, surrender means if my spiritual master, not that he will, but if he were ever to try and guide me away from this gift that Srila Prabhupada is offering and the way to achieve it, then I got to put the brakes on like Bali Maharaj did with Sukracharya. Wait a second, what do you mean I shouldn't fulfill my word, my promise to him? I gave my word. My word is everything. What to speak of? He's Vishnu. My grandfather Prahlad has told me Vishnu owns everything. Everything is meant for his service, his pleasure. Guru said, don't do it, because he had vested interest. My disciple's going to lose everything, therefore I lose everything. At that point, he was not acting as guru. And so he followed the previous acharya, who stuck to it. The purpose of life is to reawaken our love for Krishna so that we can pleasingly serve Krishna eternally. And that ability to please Krishna is here, right now. Nothing stops us. By the simplest endeavors, following Guru's instructions, we can please him and we can help others in Krishna consciousness. So to combine together, cooperating, loving, trusting, encouraging each other to please Srila Prabhupada, help Lord Chaitanya, that's the purpose, the purport of today's verse and purport. Are there any questions or comments? You want to come get the microphone, my young friend? But the internet can't hear you. Short and direct, please.
Aksh Maharaj, can you explain the difference between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru?
Yes. Shiksha Guru is one who shares the teachings of Krishna with you. Diksha Guru is one who takes the added responsibility of saying, if you'll accept these instructions of how to serve Krishna, then I dedicate my life to helping you go back home to Krishna and serve him eternally. That's Diksha, the relationship of the disciple and the spiritual master. But you only have one Diksha Guru, but the Diksha Guru or Krishna can manifest in unlimited persons and they can share with us Krishna consciousness or reality connected to Krishna. So many Siksha Gurus are there and we should always be looking and submissively listening when we see someone's trying to help me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Siksha gives instructions. Diksha gives instructions but also says, come here, follow me. I'm taking you to the lotus feet of my guru, and he'll take us back to Godhead. Thank you for that nice question. Yes, Mata, can you take it? Thank you. This young man's so enthusiastic, all the way over, taking the flowers around, the lamps around, etc., in Guru Puja.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mata, directly. I know. Kali.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful class. That statement that you read from Chaitanya Charitamrita about a person receiving spiritual body at the time of initiation. I wonder if during your research you found some verses to substantiate that or verify that, because I can share too.
Please, I know
yours.
You're a scholar from what
little
you've shared.
I wanted to hear yours, please.
You've opened the can, so share it.
But you've done the research, so can you please?
No, I found that verse, and evidently that inspired remembrance of two verses on your part. So would you please? I'm asking humbly.
Well, I ask senior devotees to also correct me. One of them is just at the time of initiation, one receives spiritual body, and that's how Krishna receives our service.
Mm-hmm.
And I would quote this verse saying, after millions and millions, Brahmande, Brahmite, Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. So that's when he's, because we can see how many living entities are there in the material world, and out of that, how rare a devotee is. So we take it very lightly, but actually devotees are super rare. And that's why it's a prerogative to have this situation of having initiation. So it's a key to get out of the material world and be connected. So that's one.
Thank you. Two.
Agree? Do you accept senior devotees? Any objections? Okay, the second one, Prabhupada quotes, is bell metal. Once put in the fire, it becomes like fire. So initiation is no ordinary thing. It's very, very rare also, like that. The third one, as I'm speaking, comes to mind, is saying in the Bhagavatam, when you have a person with tilak and kanti mala, obviously is only always a Vaishnav, hopefully, he is traversing the earth, he's called Tirthapad. So he's a walking pilgrimage.
Hari,
so
these
are my
explanation. I'm very grateful you shared that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Because she brought up the point, we may not have realized our spiritual form, so does that mean we didn't get initiation? I've heard Jayapataka Swami explain it in relationship to the deity. When one gets initiation, then one has the purificatory process whereby the guru trains one how one can directly associate with the deity and serve the deity, personally please him by feeding him, dressing him, decorating him, cleaning his temple, etc., etc. So two levels, but both of them are absolute. One's just the preliminary, and the other is the we will say sadhya, the goal, which is ever increasing. But on this point, I'd like to quote one verse from the Adi Purana that substantiated one's determination or one's earnest pleading to be allowed to serve Krishna. Gayanti mama namani rudanti mama san nidao te shamaham parikrito nayaya krita janardana. Krishna says, one who chants my holy name and cries before me, and that means before the deity, cries before me, he purchases me. I become purchased by him. Simply have to beg for it. They want to give it. Do we want it? The mercy's there. Just take it. Any other question or comment? You should. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Should have gone to get it. I'm going to recognize her. She has the mic. Please, Mata.
I just wanted to thank you, Prabhu, for such a super class.
Hare Krishna.
It was really nectar. In 1970s, we used to distribute the Back to Godhead on the street. And in those days, Back to Godhead had a full-page photo of Srila Prabhupada. And I met one man. He said, I'm a professional face reader. And he said, he looked at Prabhupada's photo. He said, your spiritual master, he cries 24/7. But his crying is from the spiritual world. His crying is not from this planet.
Haribo.
And he bought all my Back to Godheads. He bought 200.
Did I hear you correctly? Who did you say?
Pardon me?
Who said that?
It was one man. He said he was a professional face reader.
Okay. Thought you put a name to it.
He saw the picture of Prabhupada, a full page picture. And he said, this man, he is not from this planet.
He's from the spiritual realm. And he bought all 200 of my Back to Godheads.
Haribo! What a fortunate soul. That's nectar. Prabhu, wait for the mic. She's going to bring it to you. Yeah, we're always going to be crying, either by the lashes of Maya or for begging for Krishna. Take your choice.
What is the, Prabhuji, what is the meaning to give the spiritual knowledge to unfit people?
Those what is the meaning of spiritual knowledge?
Given to unfit people.
Given to everyone?
Not to...
Giving spiritual knowledge to unfit.
Okay, yeah.
Why?
How to do it? Well, we know the ninth offense is to instruct the faithless in the glories of the holy name. But everyone can be given the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Who doesn't like prasadam? Who doesn't enjoy the sound of kirtan that's chanted for the pleasure of Krishna? So many ways, if we are friendly people and if we are genuinely happy, people see that. And if we're simply selflessly trying to help, they also see that. People are not stupid. They know when someone's got an agenda. Ah, what's his thing? What's he want from me? Devotees don't want anything but to see you happy and serving Krishna. I'm going to bring in a little drop of Vrindavan Das Thakur. He wrote in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that anyone who blasphemes the Vaishnavas or Lord Nityananda, I will kick them in the head. And many devotees at the time, not real devotees, smartas, they criticized him for that, thinking that's not Krishna conscious. What are you doing kicking people? That's offensive. But Bhaktisiddhanta, Vrindavan Das Thakur's full statement was, if by kicking them I can help them stop from this offensiveness to the devotees, to the Lord, put the brakes on of their going to hell, then I will gladly kick them. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if anyone gets one speck of dust from Vrindavan Das Thakur's lotus foot, that will destroy all the sinful propensities in his life, the sinful karma of his life, and he will have the opportunity to decide whether or not he wants to surrender to Krishna. He said, even though the Vaishnavas may look like they chastise very severely someone, at heart, they are simply wanting to help that person become the eternal servant of Krishna. So if you have that mood in trying to share Krishna consciousness with others, people will like it. People are looking for Krishna. They just don't realize it. Only the hardest hearted rascals and demons. Okay, I'm not going to push anything on you. That's not my business. There's a person right behind you that surely must have some interest. Normally, we neglect those who are envious, but the devotees of the level of Vrindavan Das Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they extended themselves to even the blasphemers and the rascals, the demons. I've heard of two or three disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were going to beat up the devotees. That's what they wanted to do. They were going to go to Harinam, not to chant and dance, but to beat up the devotees because they were just a joke in their mind. And were purified by the association of devotees chanting in the party. They were purified by those devotees following Prabhupada's desire that they chant for the public. And they became devotees. Just pray to be an instrument. Unqualified as we are, just pray to be an instrument.
Prabhuji, Guru's business is to bring mercy and give it to the devotees and non-devotees all. I mean, so the effect of pure devotee, the pure devotee is the only person who is whose words effect to the non-devotee or any people. I mean to say that.
Wait, one second, Abhay. What's he said?
I'm saying that.
Could you understand him?
So, so I say,
make it short then. Because we have a hard time.
I mean to say that Guru's business is to bring mercy and give it to the devotee and non-devotee all.
Guru's business is
to bring mercy.
Yeah.
Because you have the mercy, you preacher.
Krishna has it. Yes.
And
yes.
Bring
okay.
it to us. I mean to say that before few times you say that before sometimes you told that Guru is non different to Krishna.
Yes.
Means he has the power.
Yes.
So any person is unfit.
Any person who
is unfit. Preacher is naturally a pure devotee. So he can convert any non-devotee to devotee. He has the capacity to convert any
okay.
non-devotee to
now
devotee.
Now make a question. You set up the premise.
I mean to say that it is not the question to be happy in the Krishna consciousness. The Guru's
it's
business,
not a question to be happy?
No. My reply is that you can convert any non-devotee to devotee because you are a pure devotee. Because your effect...
Is that a question? How one who is not a pure devotee can convert someone into a devotee?
My answer is that the effect of pure can convert yeah, non-devotee pure, to devotee.
That sounds like a statement.
So,
thank you.
No one is unfit in this world. I mean, who is unfit, he will gradually to be fit. If you have the mercy and you want
see,
to give
what
it
I'm
to
not
them.
Understanding from your question is the unfit person the devotee or the person they're talking to? The devotee's talking to. Who's unfit? Devotee or public? What's he saying, Abhay? Is he saying the devotee might be unfit? Why do you keep repeating? I just asked. No. Thank you. I thought that's where you're going. What can your 2 minutes of preaching do to someone? Give them a book. Let Srila Prabhupada. If you think I'm unqualified, then let Srila Prabhupada do the preaching. That's our service. We're simply representing the pure Vaishnavas. I'm not a pure Vaishnava. No one considers himself a pure Vaishnava. But if they're serving the pure Vaishnava, does that make sense? It's difficult with the dull English ears. Any other questions or comments? If you want, if you use the microphone, you get the last word to buy.
Hare Krishna, since you asked. I've heard this statement before, but I thought it was interesting to read it myself in the Bhagavatam, where Ganga Devi is concerned that when she advents on this earth, all the sinful people will bathe in her waters and she'll have to suffer for those reactions. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the position of the guru. So let me find the exact part because there's a lot of things said. Sometimes the spiritual master, after accepting a disciple, must take charge of that disciple's past sinful activities, and being overloaded must sometimes suffer, if not fully, then partially, for the sinful act of the disciple. Every disciple, therefore, must be very careful not to commit sinful activities after initiation. The poor spiritual master is kind and merciful enough to accept a disciple and partially suffer for that disciple's sinful activities. But Krishna, being merciful to his servant, neutralizes the reaction of sinful deeds for the servant who engages in preaching his glories.
Haribo.
So I was just thinking that it's how we are very fortunate to have many great souls in our movement, the ISKCON society, who know all this, but still take on so many fallen souls.
Yeah.
And
suffer on their behalf just as an instrument of their spiritual master in Krishna. They don't mind because what they have is far greater than what they're taking on. Boy, that's a nice point to end on, Abhay. Thank you.
It's the ninth canto.
Prabhu, forgive me for my impatience. I sometimes am like that. afterwards come up because it's futile. Thank you, Prabhus. Srila Prabhupada ke Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ke Gaur Premanandi.